Well, hello, dear friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. It is Tuesday, June 1st. And I'm sorry, September 1st. The summer went so fast, didn't it? June, July, August passed. And now it is September 1st. Just hard to believe. But God is good, and we are blessed to be able to study God's Word together. So open your Bible up to the book of Joshua. Today we come to chapter 2, and I would like to read the first 14 verses of Joshua chapter 2. So I hope you'll follow along in your Bible and listen to the Word of God and read it as I read it. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab, and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them. And she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. So before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted, neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So the men answered her, "Our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours. And it shall be, when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you." Well, the chapter goes on, and I would encourage you to listen to the book of Joshua, to chapter 2, or to read it in your Bible as we spend some time on it this week. Well, we're coming to the first step of the inductive method, and that is observation. We want to observe details that are here in the inspired Word of God. So to help us with that, I have several questions. If you have the study sheet, I hope that you're able to follow along. If you don't have the study sheet, if you'll just request it, I will email it to you, or you can pick it up at church as well. But I'd like to ask some questions to help us in the observation stage, and you may want to work ahead and to answer them yourself and then compare answers when we come together. The first question is based on verse 1. What is the mission of the two spies? Now remember, Joshua is a military leader. He is a general. He is the leader of the nation of Israel, and his mission is conquest. His mission is warfare. So every good military operation has a covert operation. They have an ability to gain information on enemy forces. And so Joshua had spies. And in verse 1 it says, Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Now keep in mind, Israel is on the east side of the Jordan River. Above in Israel, we have the Sea of Galilee. It's a heart-shaped, huge lake called the Sea of Galilee. And then there's a long river, the Jordan River, that connects at the bottom to the Dead Sea. So the Israelites are on the east side of the Jordan River. They have not yet gone to the west side. It's on the west side that Jericho is situated. So Joshua sent these spies, and here was their mission. They were to spy out the land across the Jordan, and especially Jericho. The ancient cities were walled and armed. And so he said, I want you to go check out the situation, because the fall of Jericho would represent a major victory for the people of Israel and the armies of Israel. So Joshua sent spies there. Now the second question is also in verse 1. Where did the spies lodge? Very interesting here that they came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and they lodged there. I don't think we are to at all think that they participated in Rahab's business, but it was a place where they could easily lodge and where they could hide even. So they were in the house of a harlot named Rahab. It was a place of welcome, and it was a strategic location and a strategic personality, this Rahab. Verses 2 and 3, there's another question. Question number 3. Was the mission of the spies discovered? Very interesting that any good city will have protective measures for its citizens. And so it was discovered that there were people coming here that weren't from here, and the king was concerned. Look at verse 2 and 3. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. Perhaps they were watchmen on the walls. Maybe they were guards at the city gates. However, the king was informed, he was informed that there were intruders, there were foreigners coming into his city, and there was a motive assigned to them. Notice that. The king was told, they have come from the children of Israel to search out the country. How they knew that, or whether or not they just surmised that, we don't know for sure, but they figured it out, that these Israelites must be here for some purpose, and in their minds, a no good purpose. So, yes, it does not say how the word leaked out to the king, but somehow he was told. Well, there's another question in verses 3 through 6. How did Rahab respond to the king, to the king's command, his action and speech, and her action and speech? How did she respond? What were her actions? What did she say? And notice verse 3. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab. The king of Jericho sent to Rahab. He surmised that these men, or maybe he was told that they were at Rahab's house, but he sent to her because he knew that she had visitors on a frequent basis. So he sent to her and he said, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. The king had believed the intelligence that was given to him. They've come to search out. These Israelites have come here to spy on us. He believed that. So he told Rahab, he said, bring them out. They've entered your house and they're here for no good purpose in the mind of the king. Well, look what Rahab did. The king said, bring them out. Verse 4, then the woman took the two men and hid them. She did the opposite of the king's command. Just hold that thought. It raises many questions, but we'll deal with some of those later in interpretation and application. She hid them. The king said, bring them out. She hid the men. And she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. So she acknowledged that the men came to her, but she says that she didn't know where they were from. But it's very interesting. Someone knew. The intelligence of the city, they knew because they told the king they've come from Israel. Notice verse 5. She continues her story. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. This is what Rahab is reporting to the king. When the gate was being closed, at closure time, at the end of the day, the men went out. Now, what had she done to the men? She had hidden them. She's saying the men went out. Verse 5b, where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. So not only does Rahab say something that is not true, she gives positive directions. Pursue after these men. I'll notice verse 6. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order on the roof. So here was a flat, most likely, rooftop, and stalks of grain were laid out there to dry, and she made that a hiding place for the men. And she covered them under the stalks of the flax. And she told the king, pursue them. Send people after them. Now let me just step by step walk through what she did. She hid the men. She lied and said, don't know where they're from. The men went out. And I don't know where they went. I do not know where they went. She lied. She said those things. She deceived and she evaded the king's men by telling them to pursue after the men. Interesting, isn't it? What an intriguing story. Joshua sends his spies. They find providential protection at the home of a harlot who lies and evades the king's command in protection of God's servants. All right, just hold those thoughts. And thoughts you have, questions you have, applications you have, jot them down for a later day. Let's press on. Verse 7, what happened to the men pursuing the spies? So, verse 7, the king apparently sent messengers or soldiers after these spies. Verse 7, it says, the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan. So, from Jericho, there was a road that led to the river. it says even a specific part of the river, to the fords. Not talking about a car dealership. It's talking about shallow places in the river where people could easily cross. So the location is rather specific here in verse 7. The men pursued them there, and it says, and as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. So the city guards, the sentries at the gate, they closed the gate after the soldiers or messengers of the king went out in pursuit of the Israelites. They closed the gate. As soon as those men went out, the gates were closed, but the Israelites weren't there. They had not gone out the gate. They were hidden under the flax on Rahab's roof. But these messengers and soldiers of the king thought they were pursuing Israelites, and now the gate is closed to the city. And who is shut in? The two spies. Who is shut out? The king's soldiers and servants. One other thing, verse 9. What three things did Rahab and the inhabitants of Jericho confess that she knew? What did they know? Well, this is a great verse. I love verse 9. Verse 8, so before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land. Notice in your Bibles, Lord is capital L and capital O-R-D, but O-R-D are smaller capitals. This is the way the translators translate and depict the name Yahweh, Jehovah, the one who exists in and of himself, the one who is the I Am, the one who has no beginning and no end, the Lord, the God of Israel. And Rahab says, I know that Yahweh has given you the land. That's not all. She says the terror of you has fallen on us. We are scared to death of you Israelites. And she says also, all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. I want to ask a question to tease you for next time. Do you think Rahab came to know Yahweh, the God of Israel? You can think about that today, study that out, but find a specific reason for your answer. This is a great chapter, a wonderful book. Spiritual conquest. That's what Joshua is all about. We go to two countries today for prayer, and one is a little country in Europe. It's bordered by Hungary, it's bordered by Italy, bordered by Switzerland and by Germany. Yes, it's the little country of Austria. It doesn't have a huge population. About the population of this country is the population of New York City, about 8 million. So here's a specific request. Austria is a nation of culture, music, art, and beautiful scenery. It lies, for the most part, spiritually empty. So, oh, how Austria needs the work of God there. It says, while 84% of Austrians believe in God, few have met Jesus personally. Young people are open to the gospel in Austria. We need to pray for workers there. The second country is Azerbaijan. May not be so familiar to us, but it borders on Iran, Armenia, Georgia, and Russia. Azerbaijan. And here is a specific prayer request. The church faces intensifying opposition even as it grows. Many churches find intimidation, surveillance, and obstructionist tactics increasingly common. I want to read one other thing about draconian registration laws. There are now harsh legal restrictions against religious groups who teach children or who produce literature, against the involvement of foreigners for religious purposes, and against developing property for worship purposes. Dear friend, you should thank God, I should thank God every day that in the United States of America, churches can own property. We can have a building where we can meet unmolested. Thank God for that. Let's pray for believers in Azerbaijan. Father, we thank you today that you are spirit and that building or no building, you work in the midst of the hearts of people. And we pray, Lord, for your work in Christians, true Bible-believing Christians in Austria. We pray that there would be a revival there, that Bible preaching would expand in that country. Lord, strengthen the believers who exist, but send more laborers to them. Send missionaries to Austria to speak the word, to evangelize, to raise up Bible schools, to train pastors. And Lord, we pray for the work of children's ministry and youth ministry. May that ministry prosper for your honor and glory, that many youth and children will be saved and will grow up to live for Jesus. And Lord, for Azerbaijan, we pray that you will strengthen Christians who are intimidated. We pray, Lord, that you will give grace and courage to know how to live in a culture where there's oppression and intimidation and registration laws. We pray, Lord, that you would provide for the Christian churches to be able to have places to meet and even be able to have property. We pray, Lord, that you will do a mighty work in Azerbaijan to draw people to the cross of Jesus. Strengthen the believers. Train them for your glory. And Lord, across the United States of America, give your people a love for the Word of God, that we would develop biblical and godly discernment. In Jesus' wonderful, mighty, and all-wise name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you, dear friend. Thank you for joining us again for Bible Sunshine as we study the book of Joshua. May God's light shine brightly on you today. God bless you.